Well, it's a third consecutive day of positive performances on global equity markets. And of course, the All Share Index was no exception. That closed up about 0.3%. The negative story has been the local currency. Of course, it's been very volatile. And today we did see it weaken against major currencies. Well, a bit earlier, I spoke with David Shapiro, the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities. David, it's the third consecutive day that we're seeing some positivity in global markets and, of course, the local market. What do you ascribe to that?
I think there's a better tone in the market. I certainly think there have been breakthroughs on trade, on the talks between the US and China. And there are a couple of points that seem to get the market going or pushing the market into positive territory. And the one is that, you know, the Chinese are buying soybeans, and also that they calling to postpone, this is rather complicated, or mend their so-called 2025 program, where this is the year that they wanted to be dominant. This is China wanted to be dominant in advanced manufacturing. And I think the fact that they're holding back, this has been something that has been irking the Americans, you know, worried that to get there, they might have to almost steal intellectual property.
Yeah.
So I think that's even that fact that they're prepared to come down on that is quite encouraging. But markets are slow to react. They're trying to go better, but there still seem to be quite a few bears out there. And I don't think we're seeing the strength of the gain or the breadth of the gains that we would like to really push through and, you know, start another bull run. So, but at least it's, you know, at least it's holding, and we're not falling further.
Mm.
So I still think this is bottom forming. I'm quite happy with the performance and think that it might take longer to turn around, but at least I think we are in the midst of a turnaround.
Mm, let's hope so. And then, of course, British Prime Minister Theresa May, she survived that motion of no confidence in her leadership, although, you know, at least a third of her members don't seem to be confident about her, which, you know, that must weigh heavily on her as she goes about her business, knowing that a third of her constituency is not really in her favor.
Well, I think as a result of that, no one's quite sure what the next move is. She survived this. No one else can contest her leadership now for another year. But where does this leave Brexit? I don't think there's any clear answer. What is very interesting, and I'm not sure how to interpret this, is that there's a growing possibility of an actual reversal of Brexit arising. In other words, that they just cancel the whole thing. So, because it doesn't seem to be clear where anybody wants to go. Now, I'm not I try to read as much as I can, but I just get conflicting views and don't come out with any clarity, you know, any clear view afterwards. So it just seems that the UK markets and even the UK economy is just saying, okay, well, we don't understand it. Let's just carry on.
Yes.
Carry on regardless. So that seems to be the situation. So the pound is volatile. It's fluctuating, but I don't think you're seeing any major moves in either direction.
There was
We'll still be talking like this probably next year.
Yeah, probably. There was a meeting with the European Central Bank. Mm. Any interesting comments by the president there, Mario Draghi?
Well, the only thing is that they will withdraw their stimulus program. You know, this has been going on for quite some time. They're going to halt that bond buying program. It might be premature. They don't see rates going up for another year there. And also, he did talk about concerns about the global economy, particularly Europe, you know, with geopolitics, protectionism, and market volatility. I think those are the three things that he did raise. So he sees some downside risks there. But, I mean, for him to withdraw the policy now just show that there is confidence. You know, he has got some confidence in where Europe's going, and maybe it is time to start tightening. It does mean, what it means is that they withdraw liquidity without getting too complicated. It just means that, you know, there's going to be less money in the market, you know, for people to borrow and buy shares and so on.
Mm.
Money's going to become harder. That's a very easy explanation of withdrawing liquidity.
Mm. And then locally, I did see a trading update from Anglo American Platinum.
Yeah.
What were they saying?
No, they look, Angloplats has been the star performer this year. It's up 50%, and all credit to management, who in very, very tight conditions have turned it around. When I say turned it around, have pointed it upwards. They've got rid of a lot of the unprofitable operations, focusing on where they can make money. They've been helped by the palladium price. You know, we don't often talk about palladium, but I think at least a third of the minerals that, you know, they, one talks about PGM, that's platinum group metals, which includes palladium, and they're a big palladium producer. And palladium profit, you know, palladium price has held up well, but the rand's given them a hope. So they've done incredibly well. And, you know, you're starting to see money come back into miners with particular focus on BHP and Anglos, largely because of the way that the companies are being run, much more efficient, increasing productivity. You heard from Mark Udofani yesterday. So those have been the three stars this year, Anglos, BHP, and Angloplat. I was just looking at the top 25 companies on the JSE in terms of market cap, not according to the top 40 index, just in pure market cap. And of that 25, I think only four shares are up, BHP, Anglos, Angloplats, and Nedbank. And so everything else is down. So it gives you an idea of the kind of problems we've had this year. But Angloplats, the winner by a long margin, up about up as I said, about 50%.
I see today Sibanye-Stillwater jumped as much as 5% when that company issued a statement saying that because over 50% of the people that they employ in the gold sector agreed to the November wage deal, they're now going to extend that to the likes of AMCU, who've been on strike for the past 3 weeks, and non-unionized people. So now that's forced the hand of AMCU, and they've told them, come back to work on December the 15th. Otherwise, obviously, there'll be consequences. Your strike will no longer be protected. Your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think you've summed it up in terms of the statement. How AMCU respond to it, we're not sure. But I think that has been behind Sibanye's gain. Gold shares have also, you know, gold fields have picked up a little bit. So there's been quite a bit of interest in that sector. But, you know, the fact that they've now come to some kind of agreement forcing AMCU's hand, and AMCU are really the belligerent side of the, of the unions. Whether they're going to listen or not and what action they're going to take still, you know, has to be seen. But we just hope it doesn't erupt into any kind of violence and that they do return and they respect the law. You know, these are rules there that were made for them as well, not only for the mines. You know, if anything, it was made for labor.
Yeah. Any other stocks of interest today?
Yeah. The one worrying me, and we saw it down today, was Mondi. And it's a stock I've really liked. And, I mean, it's a company that has produced consistently good results. Remember, Mondi came out of Anglo American a number of years ago. It was essentially a paper company, but it's kind of transformed into a packaging company. It's based in Europe with good operations there. And in September, the share price was about 420. It's come all the way back to 300, and which is about a loss of 30%, and not sure what the background to that is. You know, markets generally have been under pressure, you know, in October, but Mondi was one of the stalwarts of our market, and that's shown weakness. That might be in line with the general market, but also that you know, Europe's slowing down and maybe more competition coming into the market, which they're now starting to find. A lot of the early gains that I spoke about were driven by restructuring and, you know, refocusing the company. But I'm just surprised at the kind of weakness that we have seen since September. Mm. So watch that. I don't know the real reason why people have responded so negatively to it.
Do you think that now, as we head towards the holiday season, that, you know, there are not many people playing on the market and that people are beginning to go on holiday now?
Yeah, I wish they would, but it's been the volumes haven't been too bad. I would have thought that it might be from now that we start to see volumes come down, but you know, still 16 billion rands worth of volume today. I normally at this time it's been low, but you know what we forget? We're in an international market, so there's still quite a bit of a participation by foreigners, by foreign traders in our market. Remember, trading makes up a big part of it. So I don't think this is a market that you can completely close off from at all. There's and a lot of the stocks that we trade in are, of course, dual listed.
Yeah.
You know, the shares I mentioned, the mining shares that I mentioned, Mondi's, the Naspers, all of those do have a lot of participation from foreigners in it. So that's, we're still going to see the action in those companies.
Yeah, it's been a nasty year from an equities performance point of view, and you've explained that to us on countless occasions. But what's your word of advice to jittery investors who are not very optimistic about 2019?
I'm optimistic about 2019. The signs we're seeing now, in my view, and one, you know, you try to go back in history and you try to say, oh, I've been here a long time and et cetera, then that sometimes works. But in my view, I think that this is bottom fishing. You know, this is the bottom. And why I say that is that it's holding up pretty well. We're not seeing the bears get the ascendancy and push this market lower. And we're handling a lot of bad news at the moment. You know, we couldn't have had it worse. Mm. And I'm talking not only I think in the South African context, I think we're going to be lifted by some of our foreign businesses. You know, British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Naspers, all of these have had very hard years. British American Tobacco, AB InBev down about 40% this year and that. And I think the valuations are cheap. And somewhere down the line, I think these shares will start to turn around, and I think that's going to be the driver. As I mentioned, more interest building up in our miners, you know, the BHPs, the Anglos, even Glencore's and that, which Glencore's not part of our index in that. And I think that's also going to give an underpin to maybe a much better year. Mm. Where I am worried about our local companies, I still think that, you know, the local economy is still pretty fragile, but I think we're going to be lifted by those outside, you know, by those foreign listed businesses.
Mm. All right. Well, let's hope for the best. Thanks very much, David, as always, for your insights. That was David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities.